Hi, and welcome to Understanding God's Word Ministry. I'm your host, Minister Shanette Peterkin, and this is Understanding God's Word Ministry for such a time as this, where we take the time to go over current events and situations that are happening in our day-to-day living and apply biblical truths in the Word of God. I'm, as mentioned before, Shanette Peterkin, and I'm happy to be with you. And today, we're going to pick up. We were talking last time about walking by faith and not by sight. We want to get an understanding that, of what it means to walk. And when we look at the word walk, we're talking about our manner of living, our lifestyle, how we live, how we move, how we breathe, and how we have our being. All of that should be in our behavior, should mimic or be led by the Spirit of God according to conformity to Jesus Christ. Understand that. So today we're here and we're just going to briefly go over a couple of scriptures just so we can see and have an understanding of living this life here in this earth or on this earth. Not being conformed to what we see, how we feel, but being transformed through renewing our mindsets. Our mindset has to be renewed and changed to that of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When Christ walked this earth, we look at the example He set before us. He was fully God, but yet fully man. And He lived this life on earth as a man fully dependent upon the Spirit of God. Fully dependent upon the way of God, fully dependent upon the will of God. So in having done that, He had to lay aside His will and His desire and pick up the will and desires of the Father, God the Father. So Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Son of Man. Remember, He's fully God, but never and fully God and fully man, but He never lost possession of His deity. He just laid it aside to express Himself as a man. Why, you may ask? It's simply because a man lost it in the Garden of Eden and a man had to regain it. And so Christ came, suffered, bled, died, came to show us the way by sending or dying on a cross to show how we too can be led by the Spirit of God. And be in control of the Spirit if we just simply yield. And we know that in our human strength and ability, we cannot do that. We can't do it in our strength. We can't do it in our own efforts because of the fall, because we have a bent towards wrongdoing. And because of that fact, it takes a power source much greater than you and I. And that power source is just simply the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in every believer upon accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into the believer with an intent of changing the heart of the believer to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So meaning that it's not going to be by my power, nor my might, nor by my spirit that I live an effective Christian life here on earth. It's going to be by a transformed mind, a transformed heart, a transformed will to the way of God. Okay? So the example that Jesus Christ set and laid before us is what we are to seek after and what we are to, how we are to approach Him in that manner. The only way that the believer can live in this world and obtain victory, not victimhood, but victory, is through evidence and faith in Jesus Christ's redemption plan made at Calvary. Okay, so we're going to get started here. So in the scriptures, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And before we get started, we're going to say a word of prayer. Father, we just ask, we thank You for this day. We thank You for life, health, and strength and the opportunity to come and partake of Your word and to be transformed by the word of God. And we pray that You will give clarity and understanding and wisdom as we try to apply this word to our hearts and lives. We thank You for this opportunity and we pray that the Holy Spirit will come forth and reveal truth to each and every listener and hearer and doer of Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as we go here, we see that In verse 7, we were talking about walking by faith. It says, well, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So in looking at this, we're going to go back and we look at the word walk. We said the word walk simply means our manner of living, how we order our steps, our life, our life that we live in the body of this flesh should be ordered by faith, should be according to faith. Okay. So even though we're in this physical human body, we walk or we order our manner of living, our journey. It says in the notes, it has reference to the fact that life is a journey and the Christian is traveling to another country. So we're walking by faith, not by what we see. And this refers to things we can presently see. So it is faith that controls us, not sight. So I know a lot of you have seen a lot of things happen in this world system today. We've seen coronavirus rise up. Then not only that, we see tyranny rising up through our governmental leaders and politicians and trying to force people to do things against their will. Never before in history have we ever been forced to do something against our own will, our own desires, especially medically. And we're not being political. All of this is about a system that's here working against us. And so the Bible tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So in our Christian course here on earth, we walk, we live, not by sight, not by appearance. Although it may appear as if there's a ruling class over us and we don't have rights and we can't stand. Always think about every believer and every follower of Christ in the Bible. They were always put in difficult situations. It was the difficult situations and the pressures of life that often brought about the purification of the saint and the believer. It showed us the areas of our lives, or showed the areas of the lives of these believers where they were dependent on themselves, the government, their own strength and ability. So it took the pressure of the world. This is why we don't walk by the appearance. Nothing happens in the life of the believer without God first knowing about it. But God knows that if we look to him, the Bible says, if we keep our minds stayed on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace. Doesn't matter the threats of our enemy. Goliath taunted David day in and out. He taunted the children of Israel day in and out. He taunts us day in and out. The Bible also says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He goes back and forth to heaven and he constantly accuses us. And he may very well accuse us of things that we are doing, things that we are guilty of. But it is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God and is the Holy Spirit working in us that keeps us the right as the righteousness of God. See, if we keep our faith in the cross of Christ, we get his righteousness. Not that we are perfect and right, but because of what he's done and my faith in that atonement made at Calvary, that's what makes me righteous. And so as long as I'm evidence in faith and trust, God sees me as righteous. Okay. So we walk by faith in what Christ has done and not by the appearance of things. So it says our life is governed by faith in our immortal hope, not by the outward specious appearance of present things. This is what the Holy Spirit, when we have trials and testings and situations that happen, temptations, those things are happening because God is trying to woo the believer closer to him. Those things had the disappointments in life and the failures of life are the very things that God used to draw us closer to him. Understand that. These failures and these persecutions and these things that we lack in life, it draw us closer to the Lord, dependence upon the Lord. It causes us to look to him.
You understand? It causes us to cry out to him. And so in crying out to him, I will understand him in his way. I will understand who he is, and I will understand how he works. I won't just have a religious form of godliness, but I will come to know the power. See, I will understand the power of his spirit and his might, and I will grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want to do is, we said we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's go back to our scriptures and let's go down to verse. I want you to understand some things. Just because we're in church and just because we say we're Christians does not qualify us to be redeemed. Okay. Salvation and believing in Jesus Christ is not a mental ascent. It's not something that we, just because we gather together week after week and attend a church service, it doesn't make us in the body of Christ, mean that we're automatically placed in the body of Christ. You have to understand this. So it says here, let's go to John chapter 10. I want you to see some things. Because I think what happens when we come together in church is that we don't realize that there are a lot of people that gather together in church, but they don't understand. First of all, you got to be saved. You got to give your life to Jesus Christ and become a follower. See, you got to believe on him, accept the gift of salvation. This is the first requirement. And when we accept, then we have to learn how to become disciples. And this is the area of our Christian walk in life that we falter the most. We don't understand how to live for God. So we're gathering together week after week in church, but we're not having a proper understanding of how to live for God. We're not being discipled. Okay. So true discipleship means I not just give a mental assent that I believe God, but it means that I have to follow and conform unto God's way. See, this is what it's truly about. So let's go to John 8. We're not going to be before you long today. In chapter 10, verse 25 through 28. Now we're talking about Jesus being the good shepherd, okay? And being the great shepherd of our soul. But I just want to go down to verses 25 through 28 and show you some things. It says, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. Okay. And he says, let's go up a little bit further and we'll see what exactly he's saying. He says in verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now understand that Christ had already told them time and time again that in every conceivable way that he was the Christ. Okay. Jesus answered them, I told you in verse 25, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because what? You are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. See? So this means that there's no outside force that can pluck them out of his hand, pluck us out of his hand. But if one desires, one can take oneself out of his hands, which regrettably millions have done. And that's the notes right there. So it says here, obviously there was a dramatic difference in the reaction of the Jews who conspired to kill Jesus and those he described as my sheep. Now you on your own time can look at the scriptures in John 8. And you can read how the Jews, there were some Jews that sought to kill him, and Christ pretty much he exposed them in John 8 and several other scriptures, okay? And here he says here that, let me get here. I want to give you all the scriptures that show. So I want you to understand what it means to believe, okay? When you believe right and when you place your object of faith and realize that you and I need a savior because we have a bent towards wrongdoing, when you understand that without him, you're nothing, that on your best day, I don't care how nice and good of a person, you still are a sinner, not because of what you do, but simply because you and I were born in sin. See, many people don't understand and realize that sin through the fall in the garden separates us from God and from the things of God. And so that was through Adam and Eve by giving their obedience to Lucifer, Satan in the Garden of Eden. They chose and forfeited the promises of God and the will of God and the plans of God for their lives. They chose to to live their lives and put their lives in their own hands. Okay. They chose to obtain wisdom by experiencing sin. See, God would have given them total wisdom in the mind of God and the way of God apart from sin, apart from participating in sin. But they chose to listen to Satan. Why? Because they walked by what they saw, a fruit that could make them wise and like God, but they could not see the ulterior motive, see this, behind what Satan was doing. Why? Because they did not have the mind of God. They did not have the insight from God. And oftentimes you and I are the same way. Things happen and things present themselves in this world system that the human mind can't comprehend nor see the actions of the agendas by the evil one at work and the motives of those who are evil. So when you look at things, you're basing it out of fear, out of doubt, out of a desire to plan and scheme for your own welfare, your own good. Okay. Instead of leaving that into the hands of God, God says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall wear. Okay. He says that we should trust him. I'm not saying that we should just live a life where of carelessness, but I'm saying that we should live a life fully dependent upon him when we're placed in predicaments and situations where it seems that we have no other choice but to cave into the world system. Okay. Many of us take the time and we put our lives in our own hands and we make decisions that we really don't have to. We really don't have to go down a path. And God has planned a way of escape where you and I can handle and bear and deal with whatever circumstances we're in. So when Christ says in John 10, I told you and you believe not. Now it says the works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Now we're going to look at this word believing because it says, obviously there was a dramatic difference in the reaction of the Jews who conspired to kill Jesus and those he described as my sheep who followed him. The Pharisees saw and believed the miracles Jesus did. They did not question the reality of the miracles. They even tried to use his miracles as evidence against him. And that's Matthew 13, 9 through 14. But obviously they believed in the power of Jesus at the same time they were committed to killing him. See, we're talking about this word believe because the Bible says that Satan believes and trembles. Now, he gives a mental assent to the Godhead. He gives a mental belief, or he says he believes because he's seen and he knows and he has to be under God because God is God. Okay. And but in his life, he's not living for God. See, it's just a mental assent to that fact that God exists, God is Lord, and God is ruler. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're living for him. Now we're going to understand what it means to live for him. It says here, his disciples, on the other hand, I'm reading the notes from JSM, whose belief in him included a conscious commitment to follow We walk by faith. So I have to follow or live my Christian life or order my behavior based upon following Him, following Christ. It's not one time. It's a daily. The Bible says in Luke 9:23 and 24 that we should deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow Him daily. So every day there's a denying of self. Every day there's a picking up the benefits of the cross only through denying of self. So the only way that I can have access to God the Father is through Christ. The only way I can have access to Christ is through the cross. And the only way to have access to the cross is through a denial of self. Denial of self simply means I surrender to your way. Not like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve put their lives into their own hands, planning and scheming, and they chose. They went from God consciousness to self consciousness. They chose for themselves what they thought was best, and they ended up falling into error. They ended up falling into a false sense of security and hope. And you and I can do this very thing in this world system as Christians. Too many Christians have fallen for the lie of Satan, whether it's presented on TV, through the news, through sports and the media, through social media networks. You see, Satan is the god, little g, of this world system because of the decisions that Adam and Eve chose for their lives, which ultimately affected you and I. You see? And so now, it says here, we're getting into more about believing. Believing is simply following. Okay. It says, his disciples, on the other hand, whose belief in him included a conscious commitment to follow him, were promised eternal life. See that? So then, to be in Christ is not only believing, but also following. This is what it means to walk by faith. I don't just give a mental assent or just say haphazardly, I'm a Christian, I believe. Somebody say, you believe in Christ? Oh yeah, I believe. And we automatically assume that they're a Christian because they said they believe. No. This is a problem in organized church. We're gathering with a bunch of people that say they believe, but they have not committed to follow Christ in His way. How do I follow Christ? Meaning, and a lot of people don't like this, but we're not being political, nor are we being judgmental. But you and I have to discern and know people by their fruit. So I can't say I'm a Christian, but yet stand and support policies and people and politicians that desire to kill innocent baby. See, the abortion industry, it's an industry. It make money and profit off of infants. 300,000 innocent lives are killed every year. See, we are crying out about Black Lives Matter and Asian Lives Matter. But if it really mattered, if lives really matter, because all lives matter, and people try to get in this politically correct conversations and not say this. Everybody's so offended nowadays. And it's on purpose. It's a movement that's going on to purposely push us into silencing us from saying things because it's pushing their agenda. See, many people don't see the agenda because you're walking by sight. But when you choose to walk by faith, remember, you see the motives of Satan. The motive that Satan had in the Garden of Eden was that if he could get Adam and Eve to obey him, they became servants of him instead of Adam and Eve having dominion over the earth and being fruitful and multiplying. They cast in their lot with Satan, and Satan became the little g god of this world system. Understand that. And he blinds the minds of those in darkness. This is why it's important for you and I to understand how to walk, how to believe, how to follow, how to be, that we have to be committed to God and His way. That means in everything I do, raising my children, voting, however I vote on my convictions. This is not about parties, okay? parties can become corrupted, but you stand with the platform that stands closest with your values. And what many of us fail to believe, the biggest concerns or the issues that you and I should be standing for is abortion and marriage. In the sight of God, God says that he found that life is so precious that he died for all men. See, this thing is not about color. That's a trick of the enemy to take your focus away from what truly matters. Okay? All lives matter. All lives matter so much that God sent his son to die for a world. Okay? And so, because of that, we stand on truth. We stand on our convictions of what the word of God says. So I cannot be a Christian, say and profess with my mouth one thing, but yet not follow him in the example of faith as Paul did. I have to be committed to Christ in his way. See, you see this? Not Christians are not committed to Christ in their way. They're committed to their church and organization way. They're committed to a political party's way, whether it's Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. We're more committed to being a social justice warrior. We're more committed for fighting a cause than we are committed to standing according to God in his way, which is Jesus Christ. Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man can come to God the Father but by and through him. Not just mentally acknowledging you're a Christian. You have to follow his way. And his way has to bleed and permeate your entire life, your outlook in life. Your view has to become a Christian worldview. You have to view everything that's happened in this world system according to what the Bible says. Don't just stand, oh yeah, I'm against homosexuality, but yet over here you're supporting platforms that kill innocent children. See, that's not right. That's not balanced. We can't pick and choose which ones we have to stand wholeheartedly. And just like Elijah presented the same question to the Israelites during his time, they had gotten caught up with Baal worship and prophets because what? Jezebel came in with King Ahab and they killed God's prophets and raised up Baal prophets in their stead. And what did the common people do? They went along with what their leaders of their government told them to do. They stood and supported the Baal prophets. And Elijah stood before them and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? See, this is the question we pose to the church today. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to stand and try to be lukewarm? Because being lukewarm means you're not hot, nor are you cold. See, the water, cold water has a purpose. Hot water has a purpose. But lukewarm, it was only used to make you vomit. See this? And so we have to come to understand that you and I cannot halt any longer between two opinions. If God be God, Elijah said, serve him. If Baal, serve him. But you, as Joshua said, you and I need to choose this day whom we will serve. Otherwise, the God of this world system will continue to invade our hearts and lives, and we will be under bondage, just like the Israelites were under the Egyptian rule. They were under bondage. You see this? So I here it says, what does it mean to follow? So believing, to be in Christ is not only believing, but also following. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 9, I'm going to read this and you can write these down. It says, the Apostle Paul admonished the faithful of the church at Thessalonica to reject examples of those who behave disorderly and to follow him. Did Paul mean that when he left town, they should form a caravan and troop after him wherever he went? Hardly. He plainly said that they should imitate his behavior. Therefore, Following implies a conscious commitment to a course of action rather than a mere intellectual persuasion that something does indeed exist. I know you by your actions. See, I don't go by what people say. People know me by my actions. We don't, just because you tell me you're a Christian doesn't mean anything. Just because you pass out a tract doesn't mean anything. But I know you by your fruit, by your response. Whether you love the brethren, whether you love the men and women, or do you have a certain select group and clique and what have you. You see what I'm saying? Because wherever God leads us, and where are you so caught up and beholden to your way and your outlook that if God brought certain people in your path, you duck and dodge and hide from them? See, I know you. We know each other by our fruit. We should be able to speak the truth in love. And if somebody's in error, we should be able to forbear one another's faults and be able to turn an erring one back to truth. Because what? Love will cover a multitude of sin. See? So turn the erring one, we turn them back to truth. It covers a multitude of sin. Okay? And so this is why we have to seek God in his way. So let's keep going. And then we're still talking about following, what it means. Okay. So it says, therefore, following implies a conscious commitment to a course of action rather than a mere intellectual persuasion that something does indeed exist. So before we go leave John 10, let us also look at another a word that characterizes God's sheep. It says, our unconditional eternal security. Okay, so in John 10, well, I don't want to go there. I want to go somewhere else because I'm going to close. Okay, so it says here, understand that Jesus in John 10, you can read this when you get a chance. So the word, let's look at the word here. Like the word follow is a present progressive verb, meaning my sheep hear and keep on hearing my voice. They follow and keep on following. You don't just hear once, twice, and get to memorize scriptures and then just quote it without applying it. Every day, you and I have to keep on hearing and keep on following. And we'll come back again. My time is up. I didn't want to go too far, but we'll come back with the next part of the scripture. But I want to finish this part out, okay? So it says, Jesus also said that the good shepherd goes before his sheep and leads them out, for they will not follow another shepherd, for his sheep know only his voice. Therefore, the phrase, they shall never perish, is a conditional promise based on hearing and following. Okay. So this is, we're talking about being in Christ and being a believer. You cannot be a believer by saying, oh yeah, I believe in God, but yet don't keep on hearing and keep on following. You see this? It means not only do you hear, but you follow. Not only do you believe, but you have to follow his way daily. Okay. So it says here, we conclude then that within the Bible context, the word believe means to commit oneself holy to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, thereby taking on the character and the personality of Christ. How many people in church have this definition for faith and belief in Jesus Christ? We just say those words, we get in predicaments and situations and we feel bad and horrible about what we're in and we want to get out of it, and we'll say, come to the altar and we'll give our lives, but not understanding what it means to believe in him and to live for him. This is the definition of believe: to commit oneself wholly to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, thereby taking on the character and personality of Christ, and dedicating one's life to be molded into his image. This then is the real meaning of the phrase to be in Christ, not in church. See, most people in church or in organized religion do not use this definition. We don't understand what it means to believe on him. And if you don't understand, Christ told the Jews in John 8:30 on down, He said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed or in reality. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You are only made free as you continue to come or be in his word, continue to follow, continue to believe, and to continue to hear. For the purpose of committing yourself wholly to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, therefore, or thereby taking on the character and personality of Christ, and dedicating one's life to be molded into his image. See? True Christians work to take upon themselves the nature, character, and spirit of the one in whom they believe. This is true Christianity. What we see in church, or what we call church today, is really not the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ is not divided, or should not be divided. The body of Christ is led by the one who is the head of the church, and that's Jesus Christ. Organized church and religion is led by man, but has Jesus as a figurehead. But man controls it. And the way you know is, what is the character of that ministry? What is the character? We're not just talking about the outward character or what the outward show, but no inward glow. We're talking about what are the fruit? What are the fruits you see from that ministry? And the way you know and see is through their response to trials and situations. During this coronavirus and all the stuff that we've seen, more than not, we've seen more people fear. We see more people look to a vaccine, look to measures given by their government. And there's nothing wrong with if whether you take it or not. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying we put our faith in what man has to offer instead of seeking God and his wisdom and his way. We are so fearful of what we see that we run to the very thing, just like in the garden. Adam and Eve were so fearful of death and what God said about it, that they ran to Satan's way and his motives, Satan's way or what he offered, and not seeing his true motives. His true motive was to rule the world system. And what's happening today with us is a motive, people behind the scenes using crisis, creating chaos to get us to act in fear in order to rule this, continue in ruling the world system. But Christ said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because he's overcoming. And if he's overcoming, he will make a way of escape where we can handle it. He would take the same temptation that Satan used and meant for evil and work that thing out for our good, meaning he will purify our faith. He will draw us closer to him. He will cause us to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ, even though we're ridiculed and persecuted by a world system and a religious system. And because you and I chose to stand, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not bow to the image that was created by the world system, the God of the world system. They did not bow to it and put their lives totally in God's hand. And they went into a fiery furnace. But because he was with them, they came out victorious and untouched by the fire. What am I saying? You and I have to have the fruit. We can't just say we're Christian. Our lives, the fruit of the spirit, has to match up with what I profess to be. And on that note, we will close, and I'll come back again to finish this up. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And I pray we said some things that will help you in your walk and cause you to cling ever closer to the cross, despite what goes on in this world system. So until next time, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word for Such a Time as This. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we'll see you next time. Thank you and be blessed.